Good evening. My name is Ken Thompson. I'm the County Commissioner Chairman. Today is Monday, June the 3rd, 2019. Commissioner Dow is going to lead us in the invocation.
Give bow heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us together as a county. Thank you for bringing the departments together. Thank you for the citizens of Dublin County. Please lead us, guide us, and direct us in the business of the county today. Thank you, Jesus, for this and all other blessings. Amen.
All right.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, has everyone had a chance to review the consent agenda, and does anyone on the board have anything to add? I'll start to my right.
I do not.
All right,
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I would like to request that you add Mr. George Futrell, Assistant County Manager and Airport Director, to request to advertise the field of vacant administrative support specialist position. And number two, I would also like to add an item to the agenda for your consideration of the adoption of a resolution in support of health care for Eastern North Carolina and for funding Vida Health.
All right.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and properly seconded that we approve the consent agenda. Questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. We'll start out with public comments. Do we have anyone signed up for public comments? All right. We have one person signed up, Rachel Holland. Good evening, ma'am. Come right here.
My name is Rachel Holland. I'm here on behalf of myself and every other tax-paying citizen in this county to request a tax refund. I think it was in 2005 that Duplin County raised taxes to implement 8 paramedic trucks in Duplin County. Most of the taxpaying citizens in this county don't know that this is a farce. I have known it for a long time, but others probably don't. There are a lot of days that there are not 8 paramedic trucks in service or only operating at basic or intermediate level because there's not staff for the trucks. In any other industry, this would be considered bait and switch. This has been going on for years. I broached this same issue with then County Commissioner Mike Aldridge back in 2015. Mr. Aldridge told me that that was not happening. I challenged him not to take my word for it, but to call the EMS office and ask them. He later returned my call to tell me I was right, but that it was okay because there was another ambulance following that one that had a paramedic on it. I told him I thought that was great use of taxpayer money, having 2 trucks tied up on one call. The medical profession is always talking about the golden hour, the first hour after an emergency. I experienced this April the 29th of 2019. My husband got sick that day, and it quickly escalated to a point that he was unresponsive. I called 911. My heart sank when I heard them dispatch Medic 5 on my scanner at home, which, if you don't know, is Beulahville. Medic 8 is Kenansville, which would be no more than 10 minutes from my house, but it was not in service that day. It took Medic 5 24 minutes to get to my house from Beulahville. They stayed 8 minutes on scene, and it took them 10 minutes to get to the hospital. From time of dispatch to the time of arrival at the hospital was 43 minutes. His golden hour was just about shot. He survived, but none of his doctors know why. Also that same day, Medic 7 was operating as a basic truck. This is poor management, and ultimately, the five of you are responsible for that. I was not upset with the people on the ambulance because they were doing their best under the circumstances. Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have Mr. Gregory Adams, who is the county CPA with Thompson, Price, Scott, and Adams, and will present our 2017-18 audit.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Greg Adams from Thompson, Price, Scott, Adams in Wilmington. We are almost complete with the county audit. Wanted to go over some information in the handout that I've given out. The auditors have certain required communications to communicate to the board. Those are summarized in the handout. Our responsibilities under generally accepted auditing standards, GAS and OMB uniform guidance requires us to design the audit to provide reasonable assurance that the financial statements are free of material error and in compliance with government regulations. That was accomplished. There were no material errors noted. It also requires us to perform all planned procedures and have complete access to both management and required information. So any kind of information we needed from the county, we asked for, that's the required information, and that was completed, and our work was not limited in any way. We are responsible to communicate to the board any significant deficiencies in internal control that we find. There were two, which I will go over in a little bit, where we had some Medicaid findings, and we had a couple prior period adjustments. We're required to communicate to the board any adoption or changes in accounting policies. This year there was the adoption of GASB statement number 75, which related to the other post-employment benefits. Basically, the health insurance that you cover for your retirees, we had to make a prior period adjustment for the beginning balance of that liability. The county had to get an actuarial study. That was, I think, sent out for in December and completed in March. That actuarial study got incorporated into this year's financial statements. That was the only change in accounting for the year. Management's judgment and accounting estimates, we're supposed to let you know about those. Those two main things would be allowance for doubtful accounts and depreciation, and those were reasonable, both of those estimates. Any significant audit adjustments or unrecorded differences. So if I had a difference in a number and the county had a difference of opinion about a number, we would let you know about those unrecorded differences. There were none of those. Any disagreements with management? None. Any consultations with other accountants or other outside experts? So the only other outside expert we used was the actuarial study. So there were no actual other outside experts used. Any issues prior to our retention? So if there were any issues prior to us signing a contract, there were none. Any significant difficulties encountered during the completion of the audit? There were none. The only difficulty we entered into was not significant, but the time frame of the actuarial study. Any irregularities or illegal acts? There were none of those. The next slide is the key figure from the audit, which is the fund balance, which came in at $16,010,496. The available fund balance was $5,613,220. The amount available as a percentage was from 45% last year to 35% this year. The next slide is the tax collection rate, which went from 97.11 to 97 this year. The overall profit or loss for the year in the general fund was a loss of $2,155,384. that represents the decrease of 45% to the 35%. Now, we have finished 75% of the financial statements, and I would expect the complete audit to be ready next week in terms of a complete draft. And then we'll turn that around and let Tracy and the county manager have a look at it for their review. And then as soon as that review is complete, we'd be able to submit to the LGC by the end of next week. I don't know if everyone got this letter as part of their packet. They did. Okay, this was for this year, the Office of the State Auditor. This year, the Office of the State Auditor selected 96 Medicaid files for us to review as a separate engagement. We had to do that in two separate, they selected some, and then we went back and they selected another batch. We did that in two separate visits to Medicaid involving multiple days, or to DSS involving multiple days. This is the letter that went to the State Auditor. And then the next two pages are the findings. Now, the clients have all kind of information has been removed, but those were the findings. Nothing resulted in a question cost, meaning anyone that was eligible to receive benefits received benefits. So there was no questions of ineligibility, but there were 9 errors in the 96 files. So that resulted in the significant deficiency in Medicaid intake eligibility. And we went over this with DSS, and they're aware of these items. And that was a special engagement that we had to do last year. And as soon as I have the full draft, the board can get a copy of that full draft, and if there's any questions about that, I can answer anything you have at that time also.
I do have a question.
Yes, sir.
What has taken so long? We were expecting this in the first May.
Well, we didn't come back until I think the week right after tax season. So the week right after tax season, I didn't get a final trial balance, I don't think, until May, like last week. So I worked all weekend. We had people working since we got the final trial balance to get a draft copy of the audit. I mean, I want this complete as much as you do. I mean, internally, the reason why we couldn't get it done any sooner than that, of course, we had to wait for the actuarial study to be completed. And I think that was completed in the first week of March. And then we were behind. We were out of our offices for about a month for tax season, completely out. The whole building was flooded. So that set everything back. Everything got set back at least 4 or 5 weeks, you know. So there's no reason why, if I have a trial balance in November or October, that it can't be done on time.
Anyone else have any questions for Mr. Adams? So the long and short is we've lost $2 million out of our fund.
Yes, sir.
I just want to make sure everybody hears that. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
All right. Oh, next up we have Melissa Kennedy with the addressing project for EMS or emergency.
Good evening.
Hi.
I am here with two public hearings to name a lane. The first one is for Jared Walker in Pinhook. He done everything we asked, and they're asking to name it Liston Rothel Lane.
I think she's on item 3. I'll entertain a motion to that effect.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moving properly. Second, that we approve the name lane between 1804 Lightwood Bridge Road and 1848 Lightwood Bridge Road as Liston Rothel Lane in accordance with the Duplin County addressing and
Chairman, if I may, it's a public hearing, we need to have some public comment.
I don't see that at all on the agenda. Okay, so before I entertain that motion, we'll open this up for a public hearing. If anybody wants to ask any questions or be heard on this matter, in the matter of the name change of a road to between Light 1804 Light Bridge Road and 1848 Light Bridge Road. Does anybody want to be heard on this? All right, I'll close the public hearing. There we go. So it's been moved and properly seconded that we approve this name change. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That motion carries.
And the second one is for Ivy and Minnie Whaley off of Stanlin Road, and they chose Sandy Branch Lane.
So moved.
I think I need to open it back up for a public hearing again, right? All right, does anybody want to be heard? I will now open this up to a public hearing for, can you repeat that, Ms. Kennedy, the name?
Minnie and Ivy Whaley.
Okay. Anybody want to be heard? All right, we'll close the public hearing. Entertain a motion.
So moved.
It's been moved and properly seconded that we approve the name lane off of Sandlin Road as Sandy Branch Lane in accordance with the Duplin County Addressing and Road Naming Ordinance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, Mr. Brinson.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and members of the audience. My technical advisor has stepped outside to talk to the auditor, so I'm going to ask Ms. Carr if she'll bring the PowerPoint up for us for the presentation of the fiscal year 1920 county budget. Give us just a moment, folks. Just had it, Jamie. That's it. Okay, next slide, Jamie. Okay, the total Duplin County proposed budget for FY 1920 is $83,876,683. What you see here is a pie chart, and it breaks the budget down into general fund and other funds. Now, the other funds include capital reserve for education, that's taxes granted and debt service for our school system, emergency telephone, that goes to support our E-911 communications expenditures, property revaluation, that goes for salary, operational expenses, and a truck to be assigned to real estate appraisers. The Automation Enhancement and Preservation Fund. This is 10% of the funds collected by the Register of Deeds and set aside for automation and preservation efforts in the Register of Deeds office. Fire districts. This includes the county contribution to our volunteer fire departments, as well as all sales tax proceeds that benefit our fire departments. Debt service. It includes debt service for the schools, U.S. Department of Agriculture loan for Duplin Commons, and also the I-40 Exit 373 sewer project. Water funds, that's the water department's operational cost and salaries. Water funds debt service, these are loan obligations for the water system improvements across all water districts in the county. Then we have our transportation fund, which goes to support operations, salaries, and capital expenditures of our public transit department. Airport, that goes to support the salaries and operations at our county airport. Solid waste, again, this is an enterprise fund. It goes to support the operations, salaries, and capital expenditures at our solid waste. Finally, we have the biggest portion of our budget, which is the general fund budget. This goes to support our general government, public safety, cultural and recreational categories of the budget, and also our human resources. want to talk a little bit more in detail about our general fund. Our estimated revenues for the upcoming fiscal year are $55,637,055. Our recommended expenditures are $58,266,622. That means we have to have a fund balance appropriation of $2,629,567. This is not unusual for a government operating budget. You always, almost always appropriate fund balance. The fund balance appropriation in the current fiscal year we're in, fiscal year 18-19, was $2,695,266. So the fund balance that we're appropriating in next fiscal year is $65,699 less than what we appropriated in the current fiscal year. Okay? Some highlights of our general fund budget as compared to last year. We had our increase in economic incentives in the amount of $630,790. We have total economic development incentives of $1,069,790 in our budget. We had a mandatory increase to the retirement contributions. The local government employees retirement system voted to increase the employer contribution to the system to address a significant shortfall in future years. The increase is going to be phased in over the next three fiscal years. So the increase this year to the county is $212,788. Sales tax revenue projections have increased. And you'll see a slide in a few moments that will give this give you more information in greater detail. But we are budgeting for a $682,188 increase over FY18-19. However, we must keep in mind that not all this money goes to county government, as we must share the proceeds of this sales tax with our volunteer fire departments and also with the school system for their capital needs by state law. We have some capital requests that were funded by the board in the budget this year. They include personnel software for the county government, JurisLink software for our court system, a server for our information technology department, two ambulances for the EMS service, sheriff's office, cars, and one SUV, two mowers, a bush hog for the maintenance department, a maintenance service truck, an emergency management truck, and a truck for our animal control officers. Salary increases. There is money in the budget for merit increases for qualifying employees. Increase to educational funding. There's $393,196 included in the budget in additional appropriations to the Board of Education and also James Brunt Community College. Of that, $226,920 will go to JSCC for a roof on the hall building and for HVAC replacements, and $166,276 to the Board of Education for salary increases and also increases in insurance premiums that they incurred as a result of the storm we had back in September. There's also an ad valorem tax increase proposed in the budget of 2 cents, those monies being earmarked to help us provide better health insurance for our employees. Okay? Revenues. We're budgeting to collect $958,000 more in ad valorem taxes due to the 2 cent that we are adding to the tax rate to help provide health insurance for our employees. Departmental revenue is $356,000 less. Most of this is because we were budgeting $400,000 in revenues for jail inmate fees, but we closed the jail annex. I should point out here that it was costing $747,000 a year to run the annex. Departmental revenue restricted. This includes court facilities, sheriff's fingerprinting fees, gun permits, environmental health fees, building inspection fees, they're up $164,000. Our federal revenues are flat. Our fund balance appropriation is down, like I explained a few moments ago. Our grant funds are down because mostly the Soil and Water Department had a grant that they've already spent down, and so we don't have as large a portion of that grant to carry forward. And finally, our emergency management planning grant that we received from the state is down this year. Inventory category is budgeted at $1,205,000 more this year. Previous budgets only budgeted for the garage labor of about $37,000. But when the budget was adopted, a budget amendment will be done in July to bring in more money for gasoline, garage supplies, housekeeping supplies, copies, postage, things such as that. We're going ahead and including in the budget so we get a truer, more accurate picture of what we're going to spend. Motor vehicle taxes, we're budgeting for $244,000 more in the upcoming budget. Other revenues are projected to be down just slightly, about $1,200. Sales tax, again, we're budgeting in revenues $217,000 less, but again, we're moving $900,000 out of revenues that we previously collected for the fire departments and taking it out of the fire marshal's budget and going ahead and just putting it in a fire department budget. And state revenues, we're budgeting $718,000 more because DSS admin has projected to go up by about $100,000. Also, we're budgeting the grant that we normally get to operate our services for the aged department, and we're also budgeting for juvenile crime prevention council funds. Okay? Expenditures. Contributions and transfers are up $618,000. This includes funds for our forestry service, for the airport, and for our volunteer fire departments. Cultural and recreational category, the budget is actually down. This goes to fund the event center, library, Cabin Lake, and Cowan Museum of History and Science. Debt service is flat. That is the fixed payment we have for the Dupin Commons complex. Education, again, our educational appropriation is up for both James Front and for the Board of Education. Environmental protection is down. This includes our Soil and Water Conservation District. General government is up $1 million, and this is because we have added the inventory, as I discussed earlier, where you budget for gasoline, housekeeping supplies, garage supplies, and so forth. Also, the courthouse and probation costs have been moved from public safety and put into general government fund. Human services up $311,000. This includes mainly the grant that we get to operate our services for the aged. We're going ahead and budgeting for that. Non-departmental is up $885,000. This is where we put contingency funds for the health insurance that we're going to try to offer our employees in the upcoming budget year, and also the retirees. And there's also money in this fund for the proposed merit increases. Physical development. This is up because of the economic development incentives that we are offering. Public safety is down this year. And that's because we're spending less on capital improvements in our communications department than we did last year. It's primarily due, again, to the sales tax monies that we have removed from the public safety budget and put in the fire department budget. But I would like to point out that we are still buying the Sheriff's Department patrol cars, an SUV, and we're getting two ambulances for our EMS system. Okay? This chart here shows our ad valorem taxes for the upcoming year, and it gives you a five-year comparison. This year we're budgeting for a 73.5-cent tax rate. 1 cent of net of our collection rate would be $426,676. Again, here you can see the values. The total real property value, we're estimating it to be $816,400. Public service, $143,751,338, for a total of $3,961,567,738 in real property and public service total value. Motor vehicle values, $448,905,370. So we're budgeting to collect $28,817,252 in the upcoming budget year. Okay? This is what 1 cent, well, it begins at a half cent, but that's what 1 cent equates to on our tax rate, and then 2 cent, 3 cent, 4 cent, and 5 cent. These are our sales tax estimates. You see under the budgeted sales tax, Article 39, that's a 1 cent sales tax, and that all that money goes to the county. Article 40, 30% of that must be used for school capital. Article 42, 60% of that must be used for school capital. We get very little Article 44 that was ceded to the state during the Medicaid transfer a few years ago. Article 46, that quarter cent sales tax, that's what goes to the fire departments. We're budgeting it at $900,000. Article 44, 524, that's money that's used for economic development, our public schools, and for James Front Community College. So our total tax collections, again, $8,132,188. Okay. We have some capital needs. I think we all know that the board has already addressed the animal shelter. Plans are being formulated now to get an architect to design the facility and also to go out for financing. So that project is moving forward. We also have the need for a service for the aged facility. The current facility they have is too small, and they could get more funding if they had a larger facility, also be able to offer more services and more classes. The jail, we recently completed a jail study. Our jail is 40 years old now. It's in need of addressing. It'll be a project, just the jail would cost between $25 and $30 million. If we add a law enforcement component to that, it goes up between $35 and $40 million. The law enforcement component, of course, would be offices for the sheriff and his personnel. Replacement vehicles. This is an ongoing cost every year, and it should say replacement vehicles and equipment. We have a need every year to replenish and replace our fleet of vehicles and equipment as they age. Long-term debt service is always an issue with us. We also have a need for an emergency services complex. This would not only house our E-91 communication center, it would also house our emergency services offices. I would like for it to house a Medic 8 EMS station, to be the Kenansville Med Unit, and also to have a warehouse for the stockpiling of supplies for storm-related events and also other disasters, whether it be man-made or natural, such as water, food, MREs, cots, blankets, things of that nature. And we also have the need for a new emergency operations center, which would be housed in this complex as well. Okay. These are our special revenue and enterprise funds. Again, these are not included in the general fund budget, but we budget for them in separate budget categories. We have the emergency telephone budget, which is our E-91 communications. Capital Reserve for Education, the in Automation Enhancement and Preservation Fund, which is for the Register of Deeds Office, Property Revaluation, and in this budget it includes money for salaries, software support, and for a truck. Fire districts, this is where we have put all the funds that will go to support our volunteer fire departments. That includes the county contribution and also the sales tax proceeds. Our debt service, that includes our school debt. Water funds, that operates the water department. Water funds, debt service, that services the debt on water system improvements. Our transportation budget, that's for public transit. It has nothing to do with DOT or the highways. That's strictly for our public transit system. our airport budget for the upcoming year, solid waste, and finally our insurance fund. That's what's budgeted to provide health insurance for our employees. Okay? Fund 22, our school capital. The Board of Education requested a total request of $45,751,000, and that was for roof repairs and upgrades, HVAC replacements, and other capital improvements. As you can see here, our proposed budget for debt service is $2,341,760. School capital, $740,000, and that does not include any roll-forward funds from this current fiscal year. Our estimated revenues are $2,194,000 for a fund balance appropriation of $887,805. This gives you in greater detail our how we fund the school system, the various components that go into that. This year we're giving them $8,968,900 in current expense. We're also giving them $1.655 million for debt service, $50,000 for elementary capital, and $200,000 for high school capital, for a total of $10,874,834. In their capital fund, improvement to sites, $740,045, and the debt service, $2,341,760, for total funding in general fund and capital fund of $13,956,639. I'm going to talk to you a little bit. Our fire districts, we had two fire departments request an increase in their fire tax districts this year. The first was Northeast Fire Department. They requested an increase from 6 cent to 9 cent. And the Stacy Britt Fire District, which is the Warsaw Fire Department, they requested an increase of 0.007 to take it from 6.3 cent to 7 cent. Both of those were approved by the board. Our proposed expenditures for health insurance is $5,376,000, and our estimated revenues are $5,376,000. Now I want to talk to you a little bit about the health insurance and how the county funds that. We are a self-insured employer, meaning when you, your dependents, me, my dependents, who are on the county's health plan, go to seek care from a health care professional, the county pays that bill. Our budgeted expenditures per employee do not currently cover the expenditures in our insurance fund. Claims and stopgap insurance increases are unpredictable. Now, we all know what claims are. Stopgap insurance is insurance that we purchase that protects the county from having to pay large claims in excess of $70,000. Insurance kicks in and pays that, but we do have to pay to purchase that insurance, and it's costly and it's going up every year. The insurance fund balance is unsustainable because of the rising cost of benefits. Okay, Jamie. I just want to point out one thing to you, that our fund balance in our health fund has gone from $2.9 million in FY17 to $1.3 million last year to an estimated $1.1 million this year. Last year we spent $1.6 million of our fund balance in 1 year. This is why we are seeking to make some changes to the way we provide health insurance to our employees. Future budget concerns based on revenue growth, increased operational expenses every year that we incur, saving for future capital needs. The board graciously established a fund last year to help us start saving for some of these future capital needs that we have, and also funding employee benefits and addressing our pay plan. Okay, now It's required by law that we hold a public hearing not only on the county budget, but we must hold a separate public hearing on the economic development budget. So it's required by law. So this year we're proposing to spend $117,363 in salary and fringe benefits in our economic development activities, an operating budget of $68,630, economic incentives granted to local businesses and industry of $1,069,790, for a total expenditure on economic development activities proposed at $1,255,783. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, that's all I have for the public hearing for the FY 1920 budget.
Okay, so I want to start with opening the public hearing up for the general budget or general proposed budget for 1920. And can I just get a general show of hands who would care to be heard? Okay. One, two, three, four. And just keep those up just 1 second. Okay. So let's do this. With this column of folks right here, I think the only people that raise their hand are right here on the front. So we'll start right here in this front and second row. Is anybody behind the second row that raised their hand in this column? No? Okay. So let's do that, and you can speak for as much as 3 minutes or as little as 1 second. So let's go right over there, okay? And then we'll get to you. Ms. Maynard, did you hear that?
Okay.
All right.
I would just like to ask that anyone who wishes to speak to give their full name for us for the public record.
Okay. My name is Samantha Kennedy. I work in administration at Duplin County Health Department. And first and foremost, I would like to say thank you very much for your efforts in improving our county insurance plan. I truly am grateful for what you have done there. Since 2014, the average cost of living has increased 8%. In 2016-17, we received a 1% COLA and a 2% COLA in 17-18 for a cumulative COLA total of 3%. This means Duplin County employees have only received a 3% cost of living to offset the 8% increase in the average cost of living. Because we are still below the average cost of living, it forces employees to seek additional outside employment to put food on the table, to put gas in their cars to get them to their primary county position, to put clothes on their children's backs, and ensure their homes have electricity, water, and other basic necessities. In return, this decreases employees' morale. It makes them feel unappreciated by their employer and decreases their ability to serve the public effectively. Employers use COLAs to attract and keep valuable employees. An employer that does not offer salary adjustments to offset inflation will find itself at a competitive disadvantage to other employers that do offer this type of benefit to their employees. If you found yourself in the position of relying on the money that you earn without the possibility of a cost of living adjustment, would you be able to make your ends meet? I love my position in public health, and at this point in my career, I consider myself a vested employee. I love my coworkers and the job that I come to and perform at every single day. With that being said, oftentimes being a county employee can seem like a rather thankless job. Thank you for your time.
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Elizabeth Ritchie. I'm the Nursing Director of Duplin County Health Department. I have been there for 20 years. I wish, first of all, to applaud you for improving the county insurance health plan. It is a huge benefit to our employees and is much needed. I also wish to encourage you to consider and invest in your employees with a cost of living raise for this year. It is greatly needed. Public health is charged with protection, promotion, and advancing the health and safety of our communities. In order to do this, we must have highly skilled and dedicated staff. You may not be aware of all that public health does. In fact, you may only be aware of the scope of our practice when something goes wrong and you start to get sick. We not only take care of our county residents, but monitor world events, and we must be prepared for the threats known and unknown. Some current public health events in our state and worldwide are measles outbreak, hepatitis A outbreaks, hurricane response, water contamination, environmental threats, pandemic influenza, bioterrorism, Zika virus, and Ebola. All these events are required to have a large number of highly skilled professional staff to have a positive outcome for our communities. Our goal must be to have trained, skilled public health workforce to be able to respond. Not responding is not a viable option. The health of our communities depends on our response. We are approaching a workforce crisis. 5 out of the 12 Duplin County nurses could retire today. 3 can retire in the next 1 to 3 years. This group has over 200 years of experience, and this loss of expertise is going to be daunting. It takes a full year to train a public health nurse to be able to function at their full potential, and this is a huge investment for the county. Within the past 2 years, we have had several new public health nurses start and then resign within 12 to 18 months, not because they didn't like their job, but they couldn't live on the salary. We must offer competitive salaries to attract and retain qualified staff. Duplin County deserves to have the ability to attract the best and the brightest and most skilled staff. The health director proposed a solution in her 2019 budget proposal for a graduated salary increase for the medical staff, and this was based on an objective review of health department salaries in our neighboring counties. This proposal is supported by the Board of Health. I'm asking you tonight to invest in the overall health of our county and every one of our communities. To support this succession planning and retention of qualified staff with proposed graduated salary adjustment and consider the cost of living adjustment increase. I want to thank you very much for allowing me to take time to speak with you tonight.
Good evening. My name is Sandra Ayala. I work with the Duplin County IT Department. I would like to say that I really enjoy my work environment, who I work for and who I work with. I enjoy coming to work every day, being able to help the Duplin County employees and citizens. However, like many people might mention, I feel that we are very much underpaid. Many projects have come up within our department, and I think our crew goes above and beyond to get things done. We have seen other departments receive raises because of their excessive turnover or because they are seen as more critical than other departments. How and when will the other departments be considered? Throughout my working experience, I have seen good people and hard workers leave the county mainly for salary purposes. People who did not want to leave, but because surrounding counties paid more and because their cost of living goes up while our salaries stay the same, they were forced to go elsewhere. To those of us who stay, I guess we just hope with each year that goes by that things will change for Duplin County employees. I ask that you please reconsider the cost of living increase, as any help is greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Victoria McGee, and I work at the Duplin County Health Department as an accounting clerk. First, I would like to begin by thanking you for considering and implementing a change in our insurance coverage. As a Duplin County employee, I can honestly say I love to work with these group of ladies over here. I do, and also for Duplin County Health Department. Sorry, I lost my spot. Here we go. I do in the services that Duplin County Health Department provides for the Spanish community. We received positive feedback from the Spanish-speaking community that lets us know that they feel understood, respected, acknowledged by the staff at the health department. They enjoy coming to the health department knowing that their David tongue is understood by our workers. Part of our job requires us to work shelter duty, which requires us to leave our family during dangerous and uncertain times. We immunize the elderly and provide prenatal care for expectant mothers. We go above and beyond to serve our community, yet rarely receive a cost of living raise. Food prices increase. House prices increase. Tax rates increase. Child care costs increase. How do we expect to continue paying for our bills, providing the basic needs for our family, when our pay doesn't reflect the increased cost of living? As county employees, your employees, we ask that you reconsider a cost of living raise so that we can continue to serve Dublin County in the way that is best, that betters our community. And thank you for your time.
Okay. Is there anyone else in this column that wanted to speak? In this column right here? Okay. So, Ms. Maynard, you can come on up. And with thank Ms. Kennedy and Ms. McGee and Ms. Ritchie and Ms. Ayala for their comments. So before Ms. Maynard starts, can I get another show of hands who care to speak? Just hold those up. One, two. Hold your hands up real high. And sit, and just hold them up just for a second. Thank you very much. One, two.
Ten.
Ten. Okay, so after Ms. Maynard speaks, we're just going to go the same way we do in that column. You guys will be next and all the way back. Okay, thank you.
I've already been told, I know the board knows me, but some people in the audience might not know me. So my name is Angela Bess Maynard, and I am a retired employee for the Department of Social Service and a concerned citizen of Duplin County, and also on the Board of Social Service and on the Board of the Board of Elections. And I'm here tonight to discuss the pay raise for the Duplin County employees. Each employee in this room, which I'm glad to see here today, deserve a pay raise. These workers have worked diligently for this county for years without an adequate pay raise. It's very important that the board understands that it's hurricane season once again. Who will be doing the shelters? DSS, law enforcement, the health department, and our EMS department will be the county employees that will be serving this county and managing shelters and rescue missions. These employees need to have a pay increase. The merit raise, you get $10 to $20. And when you take the taxes from that, it is nothing for these employees. It is not fair to these employees for you all to sit here for the last year and give these employees a merit raise, because a merit raise is based on friendship. And you all don't know it because you don't work in the county offices. For years, this board has been trying to keep the tax rate low as possible. But at the expense of losing workers and training new workers, we are not able to provide adequate service out to our citizens due to high rates of vacancies in the county. Our workers are leaving, going to other counties such as Pender, Sampson, New Hanover. There are a lot of employees that are working other jobs to supply for their families. Some of these employees can come to the Department of Social Service and apply for public assistance because they don't make enough money to supply for their families. There has not been a salary study in 10 years. And when you did the salary study, you know some things had to be implemented because these workers didn't make enough money. And the study told you, what did y'all do? You didn't implement it and you looked over it. I would like to recommend that you consider a salary study, and please do this, do the right thing for these employees. Give them a cost of living raise. Thank you.
Good evening, Thomas Snell, paramedic.
What was your last name, sir?
Snell, S-N-E-L-L. Thank you for allowing me to speak this evening. I stand before you tonight to request that you reconsider the EMS budget. While I may be a former resident of this county, I still have family here, friends, and I worry about them on a daily basis. In the event of a medical emergency or traumatic injury, access to pre-hospital care and timing is critical. Duplin County EMS is there to provide that to all the residents and passerbys. That being said, the system that once used to be garnered with high regard has begun to implode. While there are several causes of this, the main ones have remained unchanged in recent years. EMS, like all medical fields, are ever-changing with an increased demand in education and training. Much like nurses of the 70s and 80s, paramedics who function autonomously, mind you, are now looking to become a degree-required field. That being said, the pay and benefits in Duplin County have remained stagnant. I started here in 2010 with an annual salary of a little over $30,000, $14.79 an hour. I was an FTO precepting new hires and students for no additional pay. I left here in 2016 due to personnel issues. It was a hostile work environment that went unrecognized by this department. At that time, I was only making $16.34 an hour. Now, there were some EMS personal changes. I was away working at Sampson County. My son started school, and I needed to come back here. I left Sampson County making $18.02 an hour. It's roughly 10% difference. I had matching 401k. I had Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance. I came back to Duplin County, my home. County government refused to even reinstate my previous salary. Started me at new hire pay, $14.95 an hour, despite 12 years experience. I didn't even make it through my probation period. I left again. This is not a place to work for me. I'm part-time now, but my new employer has afforded me a 20% pay increase from their salaries. I have Blue Cross Blue Shield at a 90-10 rate. I have guaranteed raises. I work a lower call volume. I even have matching 401k. You know, the only reason I stay here part-time is because I can look at the schedule, I see the schedule, and it's bleeding daily. You may not have trucks. They may be staffed lower than paramedic level. But you have these paramedics, intermediates, and basics over here that are busting their tails to keep them afloat. And they still can't do it. They can't do it alone. We used to staff 40 paramedics over four shifts. You're down to 22. And it's not looking better because everywhere else pays more. It's real simple. Until you and the commissioners do a pay study, until you increase salaries, you are going to continue to hemorrhage employees because they are not appreciated and can make money elsewhere. That's all I have to say.
I'm a little taller than this mic, so forgive me if you can't hear me. I'll be brief because a lot of the things that I was going to say have already been covered. Good evening. Thank you for hearing me this afternoon. My name is Cody Herring. I'm a paramedic. I've lived here my whole life. The whole family and friends live here. I've been working for Duplin County for 8 years now. Like I said, a lot of things I was going to say have already been covered, so I'll be brief. Real quick, just to educate the public. So being a paramedic is not like what you see on TV. It's not just throwing people in the ambulance and going as quick as you can to the hospital. Pretty much anything that an emergency room can do to save someone's life, we can do in the back of an ambulance going down the road. So we're highly trained, and we have to maintain that level of training all the time. Currently, in Duplin County, there's 9 paramedic openings. There's 3 EMT openings. If you do not know, there's supposed to be 8 paramedic level trucks at all times in the county. That's what we pay taxes for, 24/7. Remember, I just said there's 9 paramedic openings, so that's not good. Real quick, Medic 8, Kenansville, this year has been shut down a total of 63 times, completely shut down with no one on it. It's been lowered in paramedic level 58 times. Medic 7 in Rose Hill has been shut down 6 times. It's been a lower level than paramedic 57 times. Medic 3 is now in Fountain Town due to the hurricane. It's been a level lower than paramedic 3 times. Lenoir County, right across the line, is getting paid $18.70 an hour, right across the county line. We're right now starting at $14.95, so that's almost a $4 an hour difference. So you can't blame people for leaving. Doing the math on how many times just Medic 8 has been shut down or lower level than paramedic care this year, as of today, and this is just from 2019, as of today, we're at 153 days into the year. It's been 121 days total of shut down or not at the level that it's supposed to be at. To me, those numbers are unacceptable. I live in this county. My family, my friends live in this county. All of you live in this county. We could be anywhere in the county at any time, and it could take up to 20 minutes for an ambulance to get to us, as the lady here stated earlier. And ma'am, as me working for you, because I work for you, I believe that that's unacceptable, and I'm sorry that you had to deal with that. And it puts us at a disadvantage to go to these patients that have been waiting for 20 minutes. She spoke about the golden hour. We try to meet that. That's what we want to do. We're here to help people. We don't care about making a fortune, or we wouldn't be doing this. We would have been doctors or lawyers or something else, but we're here to help people. But we cannot do it in our community because of the pay, unfortunately. So I just wanted to speak tonight and give you my feelings on that. Real quick, while I've got another second, with Medic 3 being in Fountain Town due to the storm, because their station was flooded, a lot of times due to the staffing issue because of the pay, they're having to respond to Wallace and Rose Hill because we're low on trucks, low on staff. It's 22.2 miles from Fountain Town to Wallace. So that's over 20-minute response time. In an emergency, that's just not acceptable. And I hope and pray every night that it's not me or anybody in this room that's going to need those ambulances. Thank you for your time.
While this gentleman's coming up, I appreciate everybody's comments. We're listening. I'm listening to everything, but please respectfully keep in mind that you have 3 minutes. The last couple have gone over a little bit, so I don't want to cut you off, so I'm not going to, unless it gets just too bad. So go ahead.
Mine will be shorter than that.
Yes, sir.
My name is Darrell Whaley. I'm working with the Solid Waste Department. Just want to come on behalf of our employees with the Solid Waste Department. As you know, we've had floods, whatever. We are being slammed with construction debris right on. As most departments know, every one of us need more money. We do, and it's obvious. We appreciate the support that we've got, but we're in a critical state. We've not been a full staff since 2015. We've been several members down. And you all know you're only as good as the people you got working for you. If you can't depend on them when you need them, we don't need them. So we depend on each one of ours, and we believe in them, and they do a fantastic job. We need to show them support. We all need money. We're four positions short right now, and we're in a critical state. I'm scared if we lose one more, I don't know what we would do. I really don't. We might have to even as far as go as contracted out, and we definitely do not want to do that. Everybody sitting in here, our department have something to do with yours. It might be the garage where your vehicles are worked on, or your recycling centers where you carry your trash, or whatever. But, I mean, we need some help. And the only way I know is ask for help. If you don't ask, you'll never get help. So, and it's not just our department. You've heard all the suggestions and whatnot. Our department's hurting, and we do need some help. We ask for what we can get. We would certainly appreciate it. And that's all the time I'm going to take. Thank you.
Do we know where we are as far as who's next? Raise your hands. Who else needs to speak? Who else would like to speak? So whoever's, come on up. Can you raise your hands again? Whoever's, okay. So if you look around you, those who have their hands raised, look around you, and then let's just go per row.
My name is Susan Thigpen, and I'm the director of Duplin County Social Services. And I wanted to spend my few minutes today giving you some numbers about social services. We are quickly losing a growing number of both new and veteran workers to other counties for higher salaries. Just over the past few months, we've lost two social workers to neighboring counties for salaries that were around $10,000 higher. That was Onslow County and Pender County. And that move was for the same position. During that same time, we lost two economic benefits employees for a $7,000 raise to go to Pender County and a $12,000 raise to go to New Hanover County. We recently had two positions that we had interviewed for, gone through the process of hiring, and when we called to make offers, they both declined due to the salary that we were offering. As recently as today, Jones County had two social work positions, not social work, I'm sorry, had two positions posted that were at least two grades lower than the employees that I have, and the salaries were higher. If you look at the 2018-19 salary guide from the North Carolina School of Government, Duplin County is the fifth lowest of 92 counties in salary for an IMC-1 position. We are the sixth lowest out of 64 reporting counties for an interpreter salary. Most of the counties that did not report are counties that, it is my understanding, probably do not have interpreters. As you may recall, we did have a 5% raise given to social workers last year because of vacancies. And even with that, the social work position, social worker 2 salary position, is 25th lowest salary out of 95. Those numbers are staggering. If you look at the salaries for my employees at Social Services, 68% of the employees have salaries that would meet the definition of poor or low-income households for families of two. 6% of the employees at Social Services currently receive Medicaid benefits for their children. There are many more that would qualify but simply have not applied. Even with an increased focus over the past year with filling positions as quickly as possible, the amount of time required for staff to be adequately trained to perform their duties is significantly impacting the services to families and the quality of work that's being performed. With an ever-increasing emphasis on audits, the risk from turnover are greater than ever, and the financial penalties could be huge. I have one employee at my agency that has been employed nearly 19 years and is still only making $13.27 an hour. Failure to receive an increase in salary in 1920 will inevitably lead to more employees seeking jobs in neighboring counties. While recruitment and retention of employees is influenced by a number of factors, I think a recent employee leaving to accept a higher salary said it best. Duplin County Social Services is home to me, and I can't say anything bad about it. But I won't be able to make that salary here for a long time, if ever. When the job is the same and the travel distance is the same, I can't afford not to make that change when it will affect the rest of my career and my retirement.
Good afternoon. My name is Christy Jones, and I'm the Social Work Program Manager at the Department of Social Services. If many of you don't know what that includes, it's adult services and children's services, which are mandated services for our county. The programs that I manage provide protective services to our adults and our children who have, most of the time, no one else to provide protective services for them. We operate 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
We also work during disasters and any other crisis time that we are needed. Since March, in Children's Services, we have had 5 employees that have left. Few of those were mainly because of salary alone. The others, salary was a significant contributing factor to them deciding to go employed somewhere else. It takes approximately 1 year for a social worker to receive the core training that they need to be effective and efficient in providing protective services, whether that's children or adult services. Significant turnover requires us to start over again. We're a training ground for counties that are neighboring us that pay, most of the time, $10,000 more a year than what we can make here. I myself have been a county employee for 20 years. I did leave this county, mainly because of salary. I left for a year and a half, and I went to Lenoir County, making $10,000 a year more at a lower grade position than when I left here. When social workers leave, whether it's children's services or adult services, puts a significant burden on the social workers that are left behind to carry those caseloads. The increase in the caseloads many times put us above state recommended standards. We are currently in a staffing crisis in child welfare. Many social workers have been carrying 20 to 35 CPS assessments at a time. There is no way to provide effective services to families or children and ensure safety. The quality of service when you're carrying a case that significantly deteriorates. It is an injustice to our families and our children and our adults when we do not have the staffing required to provide the services that we are mandated to do. DSS is tasked with this responsibility. High turnover, increased caseload, stress, and social worker burnout make it almost impossible to accomplish this task. That's why I'm asking for the board to reconsider and at least give a cost of living increase to the citizens, to the employees of Duplin County. Child welfare, protective services, adult and elder abuse, it's not just a DSS issue, it's a county issue, and it takes every department in this agency for our program to run efficiently. Thank you for your time.
Good evening. My name is Stephanie Miller. I'm one of the Child Protective Services supervisors at Duplin County DSS. And I want to talk about the other sufferers of the retention problem and the recruiting problem. We have 5 social workers since March that have gone to other counties that have cited pay being the main factor or a huge contributory factor as to why they left Duplin County. The people that suffer in this are our families with Child Protective Services. Whenever we have the high turnover rates, we have inadequate services to investigate reports. We're not able to maintain services for families that we're supposed to. We don't have stability in foster care where we're housing these children that have been removed from their home. We're not able to adequately monitor safety and well-being. And what all of this means is that we're not keeping our children safe. These are the children that aren't able to speak for themselves, that parents aren't in place, whether through neglect or abuse, they're not able to make decisions for their children. And we're stepping in to provide those services. And as a supervisor, whenever I have to go in and train a new worker from scratch, from hiring someone to recruiting to getting them ready to carry a caseload, typically takes about 4 to 5 months. And the children, they have the potential to suffer during that time because that new hire's services are not going to be as adequate as a highly trained social worker that you've been able to retain. And they keep leaving because of pay to go to other counties. We've got the ability to address this, to maintain them in these positions. We can do a lot of things that don't have to do with pay, but we've got to hit some minimum levels with their pay to keep them there, so that we can continue to impact their willingness to stay on with us, even if we aren't paying necessarily exactly what the other counties are paying. But we've got to take care of our kids, we've got to take care of our families, and we've got to do that by keeping social workers in their seat. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Monique Jones. I'm the Income Maintenance Administrator. I've been in this position since November, and I'm just requesting a raise for DSS period. I've been here 13 years. I spent 2 years in Onslow County. I left for money. I came back. But not only, I'm born and raised in Duplin County, but not only when we leave to go to another county, we're losing revenue. When I was in Onslow, I brought gas in Onslow. When I was in Onslow, I shopped in Onslow. When I was in Onslow, I went to lunch in Onslow. So not only that, I'm just putting that out there, but I'm losing workers just like Christy and Susan was stating, we're losing workers every week. Somebody's putting in resignation because of money. Hardworking people, people that come in, break their backs every day, work in shelters, work in disaster food stamps constantly. Anything I ask them to do, they pretty much do, but they have families and we can't, you know, we just can't make it off of that. Not only that, qualified applicants, having a hard time finding people that qualify because nobody wants to come for the income, so it leaves us just picking anybody. Some, not all, I'm just saying some. I'm not talking, you know, I'm just saying some. And then it's like we train them. We get them in for a good 6 months to a year. We train them. The other counties take them from us. So it's just a hard time. And I'm just asking that you just think about it because we do have good workers. We do. All of us serve the citizens of Duplin County. I love being here. That's why I came back to Duplin County. And I plan on retiring from Duplin County. And I do have good workers. And I'm sure everybody else is good, you know, workers here at the Health Department and everybody. So I just hope y'all will think about it and hopefully make a good decision. Thank you.
My name is Carrie Hewitt. I'm an IMC3 for Children's Medicaid at DSS. I am one of those people that was spoke about that works two jobs. I work 70 plus hours a week for two jobs, 40 at DSS. I would work more. I could work more. I could work 24/7 and still not get all the work that's done because of the people that have left and the positions that need to be filled that we all have to step together and take on their caseload. But due to budgets and can't get overtime, so I can't. I can only work 40 hours. So I work 30, 35 hours extra a week. I'm a single mother of two kids. I bust my butt every day at both jobs. I go home. I'm tired. During the disaster food stamps, the hurricane, 172 hours I worked at that shelter. 3 days I couldn't even speak to my kids because I'm taking care of everybody else's. Yeah, I know my kids could have come with me, but I didn't want them to be subjected to the schizophrenics and the other people with mental disabilities that were coming to the shelters. You don't know who's coming in those. So 3 days, I couldn't talk to my kids. I didn't know where they were, if they were safe or not. But I stayed there, and I busted my butt, and I fed those people in the shelter. It's sad to say that had Hurricane Florence not come about, and my second job, I wouldn't have even made $28,000 last year. It's sad that it took a tragedy in our community for me to even break over $30,000. And let's not forget, I do have that second job. So I also had to take time away from my second job to feed everybody else and man this shelter. I could go right now to Onslow County. I'm an IMC3. I could go down to a 2 position with way less responsibility and make so much more, the same amount that some of our CPS workers are making. Sure, it's a little bit of a longer drive, but when you're making $10,000 more and you don't have half the stress, sometimes it's worth it. But these ladies that I work with, and also with the health department, we've grown to work with them. They're my family. They have helped me and been there for, we all there for each other during our times. So it's hard to walk away from that just for money purposes. but $10,000, $12,000 kind of makes it, well, I'll call you, you know. So right now I am training people. We're all training new people because everybody is walking out. We're all tired. And then by the time, like they said, we get them trained, another county's got them. And we have lost some great, great employees because of this. So please, take in consideration for the two-job, single working woman, help me out.
Good evening. My name is Annie Merle, and I'm the Adult Services Supervisor in the Adult Services Unit. As stated earlier from my coworkers and other county employees, I stand in agreement that every employee should receive at least a cost of living increase. It is my understanding that there have been an increase in caseload sizes in every unit as well as throughout the county. The turnovers are high and the demands are even higher. Other agencies are facing the same hardship as DSS. I supervise social worker threes. My unit gracefully accepted the reality that social workers classified as threes in another unit within the department would receive an increase, but not them. The employees in my unit work hard and face crisis situations just like other social worker threes. Four of six workers in the adult services have longevity, and they love what they do. Yet in the adult services field, the demands are higher. There have been an increase of APS reports, and my workers do face other crisis responsibilities just like other units do. I ask that you hear my plea and the plea of those that have come before me and give all employees an increase in pay. The good book says, are you your brother's keepers? And commissioners, I ask, are you your employees' keepers?
Is there anyone else who cares to be heard before I close the public hearing? Anyone else? Raise your hand. All right, I will close the public hearing. Did someone raise their hand?
Yeah.
You better. I'm not very tall. Come on up. All right. While this gentleman is walking up, is there anyone else who'd like to be heard? Okay.
My name is Earl Martin Blizzard III. I started here last year at Duplin County Social Services. I'm part of the computer support technician staff, and this is a lot. And I make about $14.35 an hour. I've looked at the positions in other counties. I've actually found a few. They sit at about $10,000 more a year, like everybody said. And their requirements are just 1 year more than what we have here. There's no way you can keep me here. Not with the way it is. I love these people. I don't want them. I don't want to stay around here because this is my home. I left. I went to Lenore Community College. I got my 2 years there. I left there. I went to Greenville. I got my bachelor's degree in computer support in computer science. They told me I could make $60,000 a year starting. That's when I started my degree. I got partway through. They said, well, there's a good chance you'll probably start about 40, 45. And now I'm here, I make $30,000. I talked to a lot of other employers outside of Duplin County. They said, I'm not going to hire you. You don't have any experience. We just can't hire you. They want 1, 2, 3, 4 years experience and a bachelor's degree, and they'll pay you $80,000. And I realize I can't expect $60,000 with just a degree anymore. But shortly after I get a year, I'm probably going to be leaving Duplin County for an Onslow position. I found a job just up the road at James Brunt Community College. It's $38,000 a year in 9 months. I get 3 months vacation and benefits. So that's the kind of struggle. That the new employees face coming into Duplin County. Just wanted to make sure you guys heard it. And thank you.
Okay. Thank you for all your comments. I will now close the public hearing as it pertains to the general budget and open a public hearing as it pertains to the economic development budget for 1920. Does anyone care to be heard regarding the economic development budget? If so, please raise your hand at this time. Hearing none, I will close that public hearing, and we will move along with the agenda. Next up is Elizabeth Stalls with the County Planning Department.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Ms. Stalls could not be with us tonight. She asked if I could stand in for her.
Okay.
Duplin County has applied for and is in the process of receiving funding under the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program to aid residents in Hurricane Florence recovery and hazard mitigation. To move forward, we need to solicit professional planning and project management services by a consultant to manage the program. The consultant services will be paid for by grant funding. I would request that the board approve to advertise the request for proposals and receive proposals for professional grant management services.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and properly seconded. We approve to advertise the request for proposals, grant management services for hazard mitigation grant program, and receive proposals for professional program management services. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the next item I have before you, Mr. Timothy Whaley owns a landlocked parcel in Wallace, which he would like to develop. Mr. Whaley is requesting an easement from the county over one or two available county-owned parcels for ingress and egress to his land. The county-owned parcels over which an easement is feasible were both obtained after Hurricane Floyd through the FEMA buyout program. I believe you have copies of this in your information packet. The county is not able to grant an easement outright and must seek FEMA's approval, which we have been quoted as taking 6 to 12 months to obtain. In the meantime, our county attorney, Mr. Vorey, has prepared an access license agreement between the county and Mr. Whaley to give temporary access permission until we can consult with FEMA about a long-term solution. I would request that the board authorize the chairman to sign an access license agreement with Timothy Whaley for a temporary access agreement between him and Duplin County.
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and properly seconded that we approve the access license agreement between the county and Mr. Whaley and allow me to sign the same. Questions or comments? Hearing. Any other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up we have Ms. Melissa Brown with our services for the aged.
I'm asking the board for approval to award and accept the caterer contract bid for fiscal year 1920.
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and properly second that we accept and award the caterer bid for fiscal year 1920 for congregate and home delivered meals to Diamond Food Enterprises, Inc. Any questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Next we have Mr. Matthew Barwick.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm here before you tonight for two items. The first one, they will both be similar in nature. First one is to extend a second option to renew for our debris monitoring company, Tetra Tech. This will be the final option to renew. After this service year, we will have to rebid those contracts. Just to give you some insight into that, this is the people that monitor the debris after disasters that get brought into our solid waste sites, and this contract is not enacted unless we are declared a federal disaster, and any money that is spent with these contracts is reimbursed by FEMA, so there's no, should be no cost to the county in incurring these debris.
People we used last year.
Yes, sir, it is the same companies.
Second.
And move properly second that we approve and allow me to sign the second option to renew and second addendum disaster management debris monitoring contract between the county and Tetra Tech. Questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the second item, as I mentioned, is quite similar to the first one. This contract is also second option to renew with the same detail as the first. However, this is a contract based with Crowder Gulf. This company actually picks up the debris and moves it to the solid waste sites.
Same question.
Same question, yes, sir. It's the same company that we used last year.
Second.
Been moving properly second that we approve and allow me to sign the second option to renew and second addendum disaster recovery and debris management contract between Crowder Gulf and the county. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Barber.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have Mr. Futrell here? There he is. Okay. Next up, we have our Assistant County Manager, Mr. George Futrell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Board. I come before you tonight on behalf of the Airport and the Economic Development Commission to request that you allow us to advertise and fill a vacant administrative support specialist position. It is a 62-1A, $12.76 per hour.
So moved.
It's been moved and properly seconded that we allow the approval and advertisement for a vacant administrative support specialist position. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I appear before you now at the request of the Pitt County Board of Commissioners. I have before me a letter from the chairman of the Pitt County Board of Commissioners, and I'd like to read it to you. It's dated May 31st, 2019. Regarding urgent action needed to support health care in eastern North Carolina. Greetings. As one of the 29 counties in the east who have benefited tremendously from the partnership between Vidant Health and the Brody School of Medicine at East Carolina University, I am urging you to present and adopt this resolution supporting health care in eastern North Carolina at your meeting on Monday. As you may know, the proposed budget in the North Carolina Senate cuts approximately $35 million from the Vidant budget that has been in place for many years. This cut, combined with the $38 million reduction due to changes in the state health plan, will have devastating consequences for health care in the East. The General Assembly will meet within the next week to confer upon a final budget between the House and Senate. It is critical that our voices be heard by the General Assembly immediately. We must all work together to support health care for our citizens in Eastern North Carolina. Please do not hesitate to contact Pitt County government if you need any additional information. I thank you in advance for your quick response and support to rally in favor of health care in the East. Sincerely, Beth B. Ward, Chair, Pitt County Board of Commissioners. I have a resolution that they have suggested that we adopt. If you would like to take this up for consideration, I'll be glad to read it into the record. You've each been supplied with a copy as well at your desk.
What says the board?
I would read it to the public.
Read it to the public, Mr. Grady. Okay.
Okay.
Health care for Eastern North Carolina. Resolution in support of health care for Eastern North Carolina and funding for Vidant Health. Whereas the people of Duplin County and Eastern North Carolina have benefited tremendously from the health care provided by Vidant Health in partnership with the Brody School of Medicine at East Carolina University. And whereas Vidant Health is committed to having the high-quality health care services accessible to all people in rural Eastern North Carolina, regardless of ability to pay. And whereas Vidant Health encompasses Vidant Medical Center in Pitt County, as well as community hospitals in Beaufort County, Duplin County, Edgecombe County, Bertie County, Hertford County, Chowan County, and Dare County. In addition to Vidant physician practices throughout Eastern North Carolina. These partners join together to improve the health and well-being of Eastern North Carolina. And whereas the proposed budget by the North Carolina Senate cuts Vidant Medical Center's Medicaid reimbursement by approximately $35 million beginning July the 1st, 2019. And whereas this would be in addition to the $38 million annual cut to Vidant resulting from changes to the state health plan taking effect on January the 1st, 2020. And whereas together this $73 million cut equates to about 3% of the annual operating budget, which is more than Vidant's operating margin for fiscal year 2018. These cuts will eliminate 100% of the system's bottom line. And whereas Vidant Health remains and will continue to serve as the primary affiliated teaching hospital for the Brody School of Medicine at East Carolina University. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Duplin County Board of Commissioners opposes cuts to funding for Vidant Health as the teaching hospital for the Brody School of Medicine at East Carolina University, and urges the North Carolina General Assembly to keep in place funding necessary to assure access to high-quality health care for all people in Eastern North Carolina. And be it further resolved that all counties in Eastern North Carolina that benefit from the services offered by Vidant Health and its partners are urged to adopt a similar resolution to send to their legislative delegations. And be it further resolved that this resolution be immediately sent to all members of the North Carolina General Assembly and the Governor. Adopted this third day of June 2019, Ken Thompson, Chairman, Duplin County Board of Commissioners.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, ma'am.
I think that we should do this.
Okay, are you making a motion to that effect?
Okay, I make a motion that we accept and
wait.
We pass this and get in the rush with everybody else. Because when you stand on the sideline, stuff passes you by.
Right.
I think it's a good thing.
Does anyone else want to second that motion?
Second.
It's been moved and properly seconded that we adopt this resolution. This has been read into the record by Mr. Brinson. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, has anybody looked into why this took place?
I have not, Commissioner Edwards, other than what I have seen reported in the media.
Because, you know, I think there's some underlining things that Vidant did with their board that created the action from our Senate delegation. I think they need to work out those problems between them.
Okay.
Can you repeat that, Mr. Edwards? I'm not quite sure I understood that.
I think there's some things that they did with their board that created a conflict from our delegate, our Senate group is the reason they voted against funding them, from information I have received.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, ma'am.
I personally can speak for Biden on my behalf. A year and a half ago, instead of an operation on my knee, it gave me something else. And I have not had any problems at all. We are at a time now, if we wait too long for anything, it passes us by. That's why we're here today, because stuff has passed us by. So what are we going to do? Are we going to pass it and see what the future holds for us? Or are we going to always say we're going to wait and see what happens later?
As far as you know, Mr. Brinson, this has been sent to all of these community hospitals, or has it been sent to every county in the eastern North Carolina? Do we know?
I think it has been sent to all 29 counties who are serviced by Vidant, and especially those counties who have community hospitals.
Okay. Any other comments, questions?
Yeah, I think we should wait until we get more information.
Okay. Well, there's a motion and a second that's on the table. So we're going to have to take action on that. And then if it doesn't pass, it can always be brought back up at the appropriate time through a motion, is the way I understand the rules. Correct? Okay.
Out of respect for my other commissioners, I would make the motion to table so that they can get more information.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure out how to do this
administratively. So we have a motion and a second. It's not been voted on. And then I have a motion to table.
Withdrawing your second?
Yes.
Okay. So that, okay. So.
Only out of respect for my.
Okay. So let's do this. So he's withdrawn his second. So that motion is off the table. And now we have a motion, and then Mr. Dow just made a second to table this proposed resolution to support what the Pitt County Board has done. When do you propose tabling it to?
If I may, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, if you would like, I will contact the Pitt County Manager. We spoke on the phone Friday. I'll also contact Senator Jackson, Representative Dixon, and give the board a report of what I learned.
Let's put this back on the agenda in 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.
If you have enough time by then. All right.
I just feel very strongly we need to support our local farmers because they look after our people.
Okay, so it's been moved and properly seconded. This is tabled until the meeting on June 17th, tentatively. Questions or comments about that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Okay, moving along. Last item on the agenda is for you, Mr. Brinson, I believe. Let's see. Announcements?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I only have one announcement. The Wayne County Manager, Mr. Honeycutt, has advised me that the groundbreaking for their new 911 communications center in Goldsboro, which, as you will remember, will also hold the backup 911 center for Duplin County, will be held on June the 11th at 10 a.m. He's going to give me some more details shortly, and as soon as I learn those details, I will be getting it to the board so you can put it on your calendar if you would like to attend. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. I will entertain a motion to adjourn until the 17th of June at 6 p.m. here. No, we're not coming here, are we? We're going back to our...
Back to the
main office.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and properly. The second that we adjourn to June 17th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Adjourn.